Amen. Let's open up. We're in Revelation 14. We're about two-thirds of the way through the book of Revelation now. And you were handed a diagram. I want you to reference that if you were given that. If not, you can get it on the way out. But man, I am a picture person, and that a picture helps me so much to see what is being communicated. As you get that diagram out, you can see exactly where we're studying. We're in chapter 14, and you can look at the diagram, and that's on in the notes online also if you want to find it that way if you're listening online. But we're in the middle of chapter 6 through 19 in what is called the tribulation period. And today we're reading, the message title is called God's Final Call to Unsaved Man. A final call. We're going to read it. And let's look at verse 6. Last time together, we read verses 6 and 7. And I'm going to read that because what we're reading about in the time of the greatest judgment that's coming to planet Earth is we find these three angels. And we studied verses 6 and 7, the first angel. Let's just read it. I saw another angel flying. So if you weren't here when we studied this, we studied what is coming is the greatest revival the world has ever seen. It's coming in the tribulation period, and this is one of the ways that it's going to happen. Another angel flying in the midst of heaven, or flying through the sky, some Bibles translate it, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth. Who's going to hear the gospel? You read it. Every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God. Reverence God is what fear God means. Be in awe of God. Turn to God, really. Give glory to Him. This is a powerful message, to fear God, to give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is coming to planet Earth, is what the book of Revelation is all about. And worship Him who made, God is a creator, we haven't evolved. Worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Now we're going to come to our text, verse 8, to the second angel. Another angel flying around the world. You know what's happening in the book of Revelation is more and more people are coming to Christ. John says it's a number that couldn't be numbered coming out of all the tribes, tongues, nations, people. But in this revival, you're going to have to die for your faith. And when you're reading the book of Revelation, that's one picture of what's happening. The other picture of what's happening is people are getting harder and harder. And we're going to read it in a couple weeks of, I won't repent of my sexual sin. I won't give up my idols. I won't give up my drugs. I won't give up my sorcery. I won't repent no matter what. And you know, I was thinking about it this week. It's kind of a lot like the world we're living in right now. It's becoming more and more polarized. People that are getting saved, people that are repenting, people that are coming in the kingdom, and people that are getting harder and harder and more angry and more violent. Exactly what we're reading in the book of Revelation. Verse 8, another angel, second of the three angels, followed. That is around the world, going throughout the sky. Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So what they were drinking in is going to, the way they're living is going to lead to the wrath of God. The fornication here speaks about spiritual fornication. There's coming a world system here, which is called Babylon, that is going to fall. It's going to be under the reign of the Antichrist and the false prophet, and we're going to read all about that in chapter 18. It's going to fall. The whole chapter is going to be the whole world system is going to fall, and Jesus is coming, and His kingdom is going to come. So we'll study more about Babylon, chapter 18. And then we read verse 9, the third angel. So three angels going around the world. A third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice. Right? You can picture it. Every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. Because God loves the world. God doesn't want to see any perish. God wants all to come to repentance. And so this final call, this is the third angel, this is the final call to unsaved mankind. With a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image. If you haven't been with us, the beast is the Antichrist, chapter 13, and he's going to set up, have an image set up, and you're going to have to worship the image, and if not, you'll be put to death. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be, this is hard to read, he shall be tormented, those who worship the beast, those who take the mark, they'll be tormented with fire. We're going to talk about fire and brimstone and what that means. In the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So this angel's calling out, that the message coming from heaven is if anyone. This message is for anyone who will hear. And you know, that sounds a lot like Jesus when he preached. He said this. He said, if anyone desires to come to me, whoever you are. That's the amazing thing about the gospel. It's for anyone. I'm an anyone. You're an anyone. If anyone desires to come after me, let him. Here's the call to follow Jesus. Deny himself. Can't live for yourself. Take up your cross daily. That is, you got to die to the old life of the flesh. And take up your cross daily and follow me. We don't just believe truths. Being a follower of Jesus, daily we're following him. He's our Lord. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now, another place he said, if you try to find your own life, you make a life for yourself, you can do that. You're going to lose the life that God has for you. But if you're willing to surrender, to lose your own will and life, you'll find the life Jesus says that I have for you. And then so powerful, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed? We're going to read these sobering verses today of those who maybe they did gain the whole world, but in the end they're destroyed. Jesus says, what would it profit him if he gains the whole world, but he himself is destroyed or lost? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and in the holy angels. And we're reading about Jesus coming and coming with the holy angels in our text. But let's look at it again, verse 9. This third angel with a loud voice says, if anyone... So the Jesus, his anyone is, he's calling people to salvation. What we're reading about here is not a wooing to salvation, a loving appeal to come follow me, but it's a warning. This angel is giving the world a warning of damnation. If you worship the Antichrist, his image, receive his mark on your forehead or hand, he himself will drink, look at this in verse 10, of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. Now, what does that mean? Drinking the cup of God's wrath. So when we listen to Jesus the night before he was crucified, there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed something that a lot of times as younger Christians, we don't have any idea what he's praying. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. And the Gospels tell us he was in such warfare that an angel had to come strengthen him. And he prayed it three times, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But nonetheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. One gospel says he was under so much strain praying that he started to sweat blood. Often when a woman is in childbirth, the strain is so great that her capillaries will burst on her forehead. Jesus was under tremendous strain. The physical crucifixion was just 12 hours away. But it's not the physical crucifixion he was dreading. He was dreading the cup. We're reading about it here in Revelation. The full strength of all of the wrath of God that Jesus would take in your place. So you would never have to. The cup of God's wrath. Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath so you could have access to what we partook today. So you could have access to the cup of the new covenant. And is there that cup? Well, a lot of younger believers, what does it mean? Let this cup pass. I don't know. I'm just told it's the cross. It's talking about the full strength of God's wrath. That's what Jesus was dreading. For the first time in all eternity, Jesus was separated from the Father when the Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it was there on the cross that he not only took our sin, but God being a holy God, God vent his wrath on Jesus in our place as our substitute. And what we're reading about here is these who have rejected Jesus and they're taking the mark of the beast, and the angel is warning them, if they do that, if you reject Jesus and follow the Antichrist and take his mark. Now, if you haven't been with us, we've studied of a one world government ruled by who the Bible calls the Antichrist or the beast, and a currency that's coming, that a cashless currency that you'll use your right hand or your forehead. Interesting, right after I taught that, my garage door opener company, they just sent me an email. After we taught chapter 13, I woke up and they said, hey, if you want a new keyless entry to your garage, you can have it. You can put it up there in your garage door. You can either use your finger or your iris, and you'll have access into your garage. And I just went, whoa. I mean, it is here. It is upon us. It is coming. And the warning is so strong. If you take this mark, if you worship this leader, this image, verse 10, you'll drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. And then we read, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. When Jesus returns, these who have followed the Antichrist are going to be tormented in an eternal state with fire and brimstone. And you know, when we hear that, fire and brimstone, there might be something in you that goes, I don't really like fire and brimstone preaching. Yeah, I don't either. I don't really like to be the one preaching fire and brimstone. But you know, if you're going to go through the Bible, then you're going to cover it all. You're going to cover the love of God and know, does God love us? But you're also going to cover the holiness of God. The wrath of God, the wrath that is coming to an unrepentant, anti-God, anti-Christ world. You know, when we first read, it's interesting, when we first read of fire and brimstone, it's in Genesis chapter 19, and it's a society called Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the first reference to God raining down fire and brimstone. And by the way, brimstone is a mineral that those that are scientific, you have scientific understanding, it's a mineral that burns exceedingly hot, producing a blue flame. It produces suffocating fumes and leaves everything it burns completely desolate, ruined. And the first time we read about God raining down fire and brimstone is there was a community called Sodom and Gomorrah, and homosexuality in that community spread to the point that when two new men came to town, all of the men of the city wanted to have sex with them. And God destroyed that society. It's an interesting story because first he removed righteous Lot, and then he destroyed the city. That's always God's pattern. He removes his people, just like we read in the book of Revelation, before the judgment comes. Listen to what it says in Luke 17. This is Jesus talking about that event of Sodom and Gomorrah. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Right? They just thought, hey, the world's going to go on forever and ever and ever. That's what our world tells us today, too. We've been evolving for billions and billions of years, and we'll keep evolving for billions and billions of years. Not true. Judgment, a day of judgment is coming. And these people, they didn't believe it. But on the day that Lot went out, God delivered righteous Lot out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And then Jesus, this is what he wants you to know about that story. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It's a sign of the times that homosexuality will spread and spread and spread leading up till Jesus' coming. Listen to what the New Testament brother of Jesus wrote about Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, Sodom and Gomorrah, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, that is, men with men, were set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance, that's hard to read, eternal fire. Now, eternal fire is, we're going to talk about it, and what we're going to read is even harder, and we're going to try to understand it together. Eternal fire for those that would rebel against God. How could a loving God send people to a state of eternal fire? In Revelation 20, so we've gone back, we're going to read of fire and brimstone in the eternal state of man, which is called the lake of fire. Listen to it. The devil, Revelation 20:10, we're going to get there. The devil who deceived them, this is going to be the story of the last days. The devil's going to deceive the nations of the world. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Here it is, listen. He was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, listening to Jesus, you want to understand that Jesus taught us about the lake of fire, that it wasn't prepared for man. Was prepared. Jesus taught us that. Matthew 25, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But man who is insistent on going against God, on rejecting God's provision of the Messiah, Jesus taught there'll be those that go into everlasting life. And again, it's hard to read. There'll be those on his left hand that he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Into, hard to read it, everlasting punishment. Hard to fathom that that really could be a fate for someone that rejects God, the God who loves them, the God who sent his son to die for them. And then, again, we're going to get to these Revelation chapters, but Revelation 21 talks about the unrepentant and describes the unrepentant as cowardly, unbelieving. They practice things that God calls abominable. They're murderers. They practice a life of sexual immorality. It's not talking about someone who stumbles. It's talking about people that practice sexual immorality. They practice drug abuse. They practice sorcery. They practice idolatry. They lie. They shall all have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the first death is when your body's separated from your soul. A second death is what the Bible calls an eternal death, where your soul is separated from God in a place called the lake of fire forever. Now we're going to read one of the hardest verses in the Bible. Look at verse 11 of our text. And it's talking about these that have followed the Antichrist and taken the mark. Verse 11, they've rejected the Messiah. They've rejected God. The smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. In the Greek language, it's stronger. It's without end. Hard to read, hard to meditate on. The smoke of their torment forever and ever and ever without end, and they have no rest day or night. No rest. What does that mean? From the torment. Torment talks about the eternal suffering. No rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. A lot of people reject the Bible. They're just like, nope, I can't believe that. Why can't we believe that? How do we understand it? I don't know. I don't know. Is it possible that we don't understand how massive of a problem sin is between us and God? Is it possible we minimalize sin? Because a whole group of people conclude that what Jesus did wasn't necessary. I'll just be religious enough. I'll just be good enough. He's just one of many ways. He didn't really need to die because there's many ways to God. That's incorrect. The truth of God is that sin is such a problem that God had to die in our place. Is it possible we don't understand the holiness of God? Man tends to want to worship a God in my image. But God is not created in your image. Well, if I were God, I certainly wouldn't. Well, you're not God. Is it possible when we're reading these things, we don't understand the holiness of God? What do the angels say day and night around the throne of God forever and ever and ever? Holy. They don't say loving, loving, loving. He is loving. They don't say gracious, gracious, gracious. The gospel is God's grace to save you. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, you can be saved. They don't say gracious, gracious, gracious. Holy, holy, holy. Must be that we're not able to understand how massive of a problem sin is, how holy God is. You know, as we read this story, I think of the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Luke 16, it's not a parable. Jesus told parables. Parables are made up stories. That if you can understand the made up story, then you understand the truth. But in Luke 16, it's not a made up story. It's a real man with a real name named Lazarus and a rich man that died. And Lazarus went to heaven and the rich man, in the end, Lazarus went to heaven and the rich man was in torment in fire. And you know what the rich man who had not believed in God, followed God, lived his life for God, the rich man, what he says, it never goes away if you know what he said. He cried out, "Could someone be sent to my brothers? I have five brothers. I don't want them to end up here." Isn't that just sobering to think that you're next to people at the grocery store, on vacation, at school, at work, and perhaps there's people in hell crying out that someone who has the truth would be sent to them. There's another verse I want to put before you as we're finishing this morning. Listen to what Jude says. The Lord's brother said this. He says, you know, when we're bringing the gospel to people, on some we bring compassion. That's all they need to hear, how much God loves them. That's all they need to hear, how compassionate God is, how he cares, how he understands them, how he's provided for their sin. And they turn to the gospel. But it's interesting, Jude said, on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. There's some that the only thing that would ever cause them to turn to Jesus is to know what lies ahead for them. And it's such a graphic picture that we love people, we know people, that they're headed for this destiny, and you sharing the gospel with them is like pulling them out of the fire that they're headed for. I would much rather hear a message on the love of God. I would much rather hear about how the love of God reaches to heaven. It's the cross. It reaches down to me. It's for whoever will come. That's the message I would rather preach. But you know, some people say, "Hey, Pastor Rob, I'm glad that works for you. No thanks. I don't need it. I don't want it." But you know, when they're made aware of their sin, when they're made aware of the path they're on, when they're made aware of their eternal destiny without end, for some it's enough to get their attention. Yeah, I don't want to fall into the hands of a holy God and have to drink that cup myself. I need Jesus to take that cup in my place. I want to be saved. And look at verse 12. We're just going to read 12 and 13. Here is the patience, or it could be translated the endurance of the saints. What saints? It's talking about those, the churches in heaven, chapter 4 and 5. It's talking about people that are coming to Christ during the tribulation. Well, here's the endurance of the saints on the earth, those that are being saved. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Here, verse 11, knowing the fiery future, if you take the mark, if you worship the beast, endure, keep God's commandments, keep God as the first God of your heart. Don't worship any images. Keep your faith in Jesus. Here is the endurance. Understanding what the path is for those that don't endure and they give in. here's the endurance. And then the last verse, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. They're going to have to be martyred for their faith. In the Gospels, we read of 8 Beatitudes. It's interesting. We're going to spend a Sunday morning on it. There's actually 8 Beatitudes in the book of Revelation, too. This is one of them. You're like, I know the blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Yeah, that's it. That's the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. There's also 8 Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. This is the second one. We'll take a Sunday morning and look at all 8 of them. But blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed are those who don't take that mark. Blessed are those who won't worship that image in the tribulation. And notice what it says. It's such a strong proof text for the rapture being before the tribulation. Otherwise, it would say, blessed are those who hold on for the rapture coming at the end of the tribulation. It doesn't say that. It says, blessed are the dead. The only way to go to heaven at this point is you're going to have to die for the Lord. And look, yes, says the Spirit. Now, that's interesting because in chapters 2 and 3, as you look at your diagram, you find the church age, and over and over and over, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Every church, have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That ends after chapter 4 when the church goes to heaven. The Spirit's no longer saying, let him have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now the Spirit is just speaking. The church isn't on earth. He's just speaking to anyone who will listen. Yes, says the Spirit. That's right. The blessing now is in dying for your faith in the tribulation period, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Labors means, this we're going to finish here, labors is found throughout the New Testament, and it describes those who are truly believers. How so, Rob? Labors talks about a genuine believer. Your response is you labor for Jesus. And it's a word that talks about you labor to the point of exhaustion. Your faith is genuine. You have a heart to labor for the gospel, labor for the kingdom, labor to serve Jesus. That's genuine faith. And these are finally going to get to rest from their labors. And the last thing we're going to see this morning is they rest from their works. They rest from their labors and their works follow them. Let's just finish just a little short time of talking about what this means, that our works, for genuine believers, our works are going to follow us. Now, I want you to listen. This is one of the last verses that's going to be read of the morning. Maybe you know it. For by grace you've been saved. You're like, oh yeah, Pastor Rob, I know this. Ephesians 2:8. By grace, that means God's unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. By grace you've been saved. How are we saved? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I would ask you, are you saved? God graciously wants to save you. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. It's not by any works. If you're ever in any church where you hear it's your faith plus something that saves you, run. It's not your faith plus membership in a church. It's not your faith plus tithing. It's not your faith plus some type of special garment you wear under your clothes. It's not your faith plus baptism. It's not faith plus anything that saves you. Not of works, it's a gift. And you know, I might just be talking to like one or two people here today. I know most of you. Might be one or two of you that you haven't yet received the free gift of eternal life. That you're saved. What does saved means? Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath in your place. He took the judgment so you would never have to. And then I want you to hear the rest of that verse. It's a gift of God, not of works. But now listen to the works, how works does play a role in your life. For we are his workmanship, that is his masterpiece, piece of artwork, created in Christ Jesus, listen, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. And this is the most exciting thing about being a Christian. This is the most exciting thing about turning your life over to the Lord is the rest of your life you get to discover what God has for you. There are things that God has designed for you to walk in. And you can miss that. You can find your own life and lose everything God has planned for you. Or you can say, you know what, Lord, I surrender my own life. I want to walk in all that you have for me. And look back at our text as we finish. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. It's an amazing thing that not only does God have works for us to walk in, but when you get to heaven, he wants to reward you for your obedience and for the things you were part of. I'd just be happy to be there with the Lord. It's amazing to think that our works are going to follow us. It's what the Bible calls the Bema Seat of Christ. Every believer is going to stand before the Bema Seat or Judgment Seat of Christ. It's not a judgment to find out if you're saved or not. You're saved if you've trusted Christ. This is a judgment where your whole life is going to be exposed to fire. The fire of Jesus. And it says, our lives will be manifest. Wood, hay, and stubble. Just going to be consumed. Things that we lived for that had no eternal value at all, but also is going to be revealed gold and silver and precious stones. What Jesus called treasures in heaven. He said, don't lay up your treasures on earth where rust and moth destroy, thieves break in and steal. Lay up your treasure in heaven. Live a life that's going to count for eternity. And you know, in that passage, it says some people, they will be saved, but only through the fire. Like their whole life is just going to go up in flame. They're saved, but they just didn't use their life for the Lord. They trusted Christ, but no gold, silver, and precious stones. We'll just read it the last time. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Those who will receive the gospel and die for their faith. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Their faith is genuine. They've been laboring for the gospel, and their works will follow them. God is a rewarder of those who serve him. Let's bow our heads. Let's stop here. Let's set things aside. Have the worship team come back up. God's final call to unsaved man. You know what? No one got up and left today. Most of the time when I preach through the Bible and I touch on these verses, it's pretty common people just get up and leave. They're like, yeah, I don't want to hear this. You know what it is? It is hard to hear, but God knows we need to hear it. And there's people that God wants to use you in their life to bring the compassion of God. And there's going to be times in your life that God's going to use you to share the horrible fire. And God's going to let you be part of rescuing them. You know, one time in my life, I drove home. I was in my early 20s and a house was on fire. And I ran in that house on fire and helped people get out of that house. And you know, the fireman told me, never do that. Wait for the professionals. Like, I couldn't wait. And I wasn't in danger. In my opinion, the fire wasn't so bad yet. The smoke was only up to our waist. We could crawl on our stomachs, you know, but how could I stand by? And there are people that you have to ask yourself, how can I stand by and not say anything? Let's bow our heads. Could we? We'll just stop here, set things aside. The everlasting gospel. For all eternity, it will be the good news about Jesus that is central to who we are. It's never going to change. We're never going to stop being thankful for the Savior. Probably in this lifetime, we're never going to fully understand what He did for us. And the scriptures tell us we aren't really capable of knowing what God has prepared for us. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, never even entered into the heart of man the things that God is preparing for those who love Him. Gospel means good news. Jesus died for you. That's good news. Jesus took your place. That's good news. He died to take the wrath of God so you won't have to. That's good news. And He lived a perfect life for 33 years, fulfilling every commandment of God, even the punctuation marks. And if you will turn to Jesus in repentance and put your faith in Him, He'll save you. Eternal life. And you can do that right where you sit. If you're someone, you know, for some it might be you don't know, have I done that? Have I crossed the line? Have I trusted Jesus? Have I received the free gift of eternal life? If you're saved, you know you have. There's no doubt. You may not know. And I would encourage you to just tell the Lord, Lord, I repent of my sin. I don't want sin. I don't want rebellion. I don't want to live against You. I want to live for You. And right where you sit, you could just tell the Lord, Lord, I repent of my sin. And faith looks like this. You would just say, Jesus, save me. If anyone calls on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. You can do that, whoever you are. And you could do it right where you are right now. You could say, Jesus, save me. Save me from my sin. Forgive me. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you of all your sin. And you could ask for that. He can make you white as snow. And you could just say, Lord Jesus, cleanse me of all my sin. I receive what You did. And if this is a saving moment for you, just tell the Lord, I surrender to You. I surrender my life. I want the life that You have for me. Let's just all pray that. Let's just all pray a prayer. Lord, I want to surrender my life. I want the life that You have for me. I want to walk in what You have for me. Whether you're younger, whether you're older, let's pray that. Lord, I want to lose the life that I could make for myself. And I want to discover the life that You have for me to walk in. And if this is a saving morning for you, just the last thing, would you just pray, Holy Spirit, fill me and change me today. It's the last thing I'm going to ask you to pray. If it's real, say, Holy Spirit, fill me, change me from the inside, change my heart. And then just thank the Lord. If this is a saving morning, I want you to exercise faith and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. In Jesus' name. And I'm just going to ask, our heads are bowed. If you're someone that was your prayer, a prayer of salvation, would you hold up your hand, right? Just right where you are and just say, Pastor Rob, that's me. There is repentance in my heart. I did pray asking Jesus to save me. Just hold it up where I could see it. If that was your prayer, if that happened in you this morning, don't hide it now, but make it public. Like, Pastor Rob, I did ask that. It is real. I did pray that. Anyone today, you just hold up your hand where I could see it. Say, Pastor Rob, that is me. That I did pray that prayer. I was asking. I did repent this morning. You'd have to hold it up where I could see you. It would take courage for you to identify yourself. Anyone today? You just have to have the courage to say, Pastor Rob, I'm that one. Yep, I see your hand. Just one person in the back. Beautiful. Anyone else today? This was a day that there was repentance in your heart, and it's a miracle, and it's beautiful what you were praying out. Anyone else, you'd say, Pastor Rob, that is me. I did pray. I am repentant. Just hold it up where I could see it. Anyone? Just the one. Let's applaud that one back in the back. Beautiful. And Lord, we pray you just pour out your Spirit. Save and change and transform. And Lord, may they just have such a hunger for you. Lord, so often on Sundays, there's people that I didn't see them raise their hand. Whoever is in that place this morning, Lord, we just pray you'd pour out your Spirit. Give them a hunger for your word. Let this church be a church that they could grow in. I'm going to move over to the baptism, and we're just going to keep worshiping.